All right, I guess we're officially starting. In years past, I understand theoretically the way this worked. Theoretically, hypothetically, was you asked a good question, and in return, you got a good refreshment. But, you know, of course, I can't distribute refreshments anymore, so someone else has to manage that. Yeah. Or you get a good
cheer. If you ask a good question,
sir?
Women might like you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got a question.
Your
if this
question,
hotel
sir?
Charges $20 for a six-pack, why can't they afford air conditioning?
Now, that's a very good question. Of course, I believe that the record heat and the humidity, thanks to the hurricane, might impact that a little bit because it's not just this hotel. But, yeah, it's really fucking annoying.
Actually, in the immortal words of Airplane, because that's what they'd expect us to do.
Ah, okay. Next question.
I happen to be out of liquor, and I'm allergic to beer. Who can help?
Ah.
Right over here.
Brian.
All right, next question. Yes, this is being recorded. Hey, you know, he's not on staff, he's not a guest, he's not a panelist, so, you know, I assume you two are good buddies who know each other in real life, and you're just helping out a friend. Come up to the mic and ask your question, please.
I believe the first question is, if I can have a drink.
That's up to someone else who might have something with which you could satisfy your thirst, alcoholic or non.
Sudu, can he have a drink?
What?
Sudu, can he have a drink?
It's okay by me, but I have nothing to give you because I would never do such a thing. Because right. That would be wrong of me. Therefore, I would not do it.
We are going
to
do pizza later.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Who the hell are all of you? How about telling us that?
Oh, we can do that.
If I missed introductions, right? Okay.
Thank you very
much. Oh, no, you go first.
All right. Hi. Some of you know me as Johnny X. I started out as part of the Nashville 2600 scene. I started a little convention up there known as Freaknik with a PH. I swear to God, when we came up with a name, we did not know there was a Freaknik with an F here in Atlanta. We didn't. We just didn't.
They love us, though.
It's long gone.
But do not go there.
But the funny thing was that when we found out about Freaknik with an F, when the Atlanta crew said, "Are you people crazy?" We'd already printed up stuff and announced it everywhere. So we contacted the Freaknik with an F people and said, "We're pale computer geeks. I swear to God, we didn't know. Please don't sue us." And they thought it was funny, so we swapped T-shirts. So we've been good ever since. So, Nashville 2600 Freaknik. I've been coming to Dragon Con. I came in 95 as an attendee to see the cyberpunks on the space and science track. I helped start the fledgling EFF track back in 1997. Helped out with that up until 2002, and for some reason they thought I would be a good person to take over the ailing space and science track in 2003. We brought it back from the dead, grew it so large we've had to split into a separate space track and a science track, and we spawned off the skeptics track. You're welcome for the reality wing of programming here. 10 years as a director. Maybe they'll keep me around for another 10 before they finally fire me and file the restraining order, and that's me.
Well, I am Toko Bob, and unfortunately, I don't have such an interesting story. I just do things. Yay me!
Don't let him kid you. He is a master social engineer, and we'll be talking about social engineering.
You can call me Powder, and I supply his beverages at the moment.
He's my drink monkey.
But I've been to quite a few of Johnny X's Freaknik's, and it's awesome. And we learn things there.
And you make the greatest friends ever.
You do. It's true.
We're a very loving group. Plus, we'll have the nuclear reactor there this year as well. So.
Will we?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the jet. Chad loves us.
Yeah, what happened to the jet engine?
I believe the jet will be... Well, we can't fire off the jet here, but we sure as hell can at Freaknik.
Yeah. It's great for roasting marshmallows, as long as one doesn't fly back and hit you.
Well, the problem with
your
the marshmallow is that you... Well, you know, even if you're being safe and you put it on the end of a very, very, very long wire unfolded coat hanger, the instant you stick it in the jet flame exhaust, it goes... boom, and then you have flaming marshmallow napalm sailing across the parking lot onto people's cars.
And
it's beautiful.
Well, one of the beautiful things about Freaknik too is it's, you know, it'll be 8 o'clock in the morning and you're not ready to get up, and all of a sudden you hear woof. You look out your window, can't see anything, sounds like the world's coming to an end. You step outside and you're like, wow, it's October and it's 112 degrees out here.
That was not my alarm clock.
No, no. Musical Tesla coils on occasion too.
Yes.
So, yeah. It's not Arc-A-Tack. It's other people who are building musical Tesla coils. But we're working on getting Arc-A-Tack to Freaknik, and I'll just say it now. We're working on getting them back here to DragonCon. I think time has passed. I think the wounds have healed.
Rando.
I think we would really love to have another Mad Scientist Ball, wouldn't we? In a room big enough to contain it. In a room big enough to contain it, finally. Don't you think? And there were people who tried to get into that thing for 3 years running and still weren't able to get into it. I feel bad about that. We're also going to try to bring back the Church of the Subgenius and have a major revival.
Hell yeah.
So, enough about future plans. I'll let the rest of the panelists introduce themselves.
Okay, my name's Ilanka Dunnan. I've been coming to DragonCon for many years. DragonCon has been really, really good to me in my career. Originally, I was just a lowly game developer. I just have a game that came out a week ago Thursday. If anybody has an iPhone or an iPad, it's One Epic Night, Night with a K. It depends how it does on the iPhone, and then we may develop for the Android. Ask me questions later about why it sucks to develop for Android, and then I'll go into that. from DragonCon, I met some of these crowd. I heard about some codes they'd released. I hadn't been cracked yet. I went ahead and cracked them, got prizes, cracked more codes, cracked so many I got banned from competition in cracking other codes.
Give other people a chance, Ilanka.
Yeah, at the AtlantaCon puzzle. Yeah, I was ineligible. Then September 11th it happened, and then I was using my crypto experience to help out the government. I was learning about Al-Qaeda codes, giving talks there.
Okay, hacker. I'm now going to test your hacker acumen. Why Firefox 12? There, it's on
it's
purpose.
One more than 11.
It's
yes,
even
it is,
better.
This browser goes answer. To 12.
The release is 3 days old.
Okay, Charles, this is the loaded question, another DC404. Why am I using Firefox 12?
So we can wreck you again this year.
No, not so you can wreck me again this year. Very good, very. Feel free to try. That's why it's there. No. If you go get Fire Sheep, what version of Firefox does it run in?
11.
This laptop's got Fire Sheep installed. Yes.
14, because they issued a compatibility patch.
Oh, when did they come out
with
that? I have been so...
2 years ago.
2 weeks ago? Okay, for those who are listening at home, eventually.
hey, actually, I'm not as slow as a science track. I'm still waiting for Ronan for 2010's audio.
Yes,
fuck you.
For those at home who didn't get that, Andrew edits all the EFF track audios, and he gets them out lickety-split. In fact, last year somebody asked for something specific, and he popped it right out like instantly. Johnny, on the other hand,
we work in geological time scales.
Oh, well, okay. So anyway, for the benefit of those at home, an audience member said that Firefox came out with a compatibility patch for Firefox 14 2 weeks ago for Fire Sheep. Now, you could...
Hey, Keith?
Yeah.
Can the panel finish introducing themselves first?
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, that's why we're using Firefox 12. So.
Priority interrupt. Priority interrupt.
I have priority interrupt. Okay. So where was? Oh, so cryptography, Al-Qaeda, yes. Speaking to the government, got invited to CIA headquarters, tried to get into CIA headquarters, they turned me away, then I found a way of social engineering my way into CIA headquarters to give a talk on Al-Qaeda codes.
Real quick, raise your hand if you got an empty seat next to you. Well, I guess, okay, I guess that answers that question. Sorry.
Okay. There's one up
all
here.
Right. So then I became an expert on a sculpture at the center of CIA called Kryptos, which has four codes, three of the four have been solved, fourth hasn't been solved. It's one of the most famous unsolved codes in the world. I became an expert on unsolved codes. Then an author some of you may have heard of called Dan Brown, writing Da Vinci Code. He wanted to get some information about cryptography, so called me And then he named a character after me in one of his novels. And most recent news is, you know, with all the social engineering, I've now been invited by Washington, D.C. to be on the board of directors to build a new National Museum of Cryptography. So...
I
want to be an Easter egg in the museum somewhere.
Okay, ooh. We'll bronze you and put you in there with the cattle prod.
Oh, God. That can't be, no, Easter egg can't be that obvious.
Okay. A condom, then.
I want you to bronze John.
Okay. No. So, and other stories as well, but that's it in a nutshell. Right. And thank you, DragonCon.
Hola, señores and señoritas. Hey, I'm Randall Schwartz. This is my 11th year at DragonCon, my 11th time of doing Hacker 201. I recognize some of you as coming back again. I appreciate that. It's all good stuff. For those who don't know me, how many people listen to Floss Weekly, my podcast? Thank you, guys. And tell your friends if you like it. Thank you. And how many people might have heard of some of the Perl books I've done, Programming Perl, the original one, Learning Perl, well, Intermediate Perl, Learning Perl for Win32, Effective Perl Programming.
They're great books. Standard joke. I've pirated every single one of them and loved them.
Indeed. And I actually came to DragonCon 11 years ago because I have a Wikipedia entry that talks about my former felon status. So I also have that as my background. So welcome, everybody. This is great. Good to see you. And sorry I ran it right at the last minute because I was optimizing my time up in the green room where I get free drinks up there. And I thought I should just maximize that. I tried to bring some stuff they wouldn't let me. I really was trying to get a whole fifth out of there, but I couldn't do it. So here I am.
You can't run fast.
Thanks, guys. And good to see you all again, and we're going to have a great time tonight. Thank you.
We will be ordering the pizzas at midnight as usual. There seems to be no real issue with that, so we'll continue that quite openly.
Only imaginary issues.
Yeah, food is legal.
Yes. Many things are legal that we're not ordering.
All right, so you ask us a question, and we're not going to give you alcohol.
Sorry.
Kind of bullshit is that?
Remember, passing the torch. Someone talked. I'll go into detail on that later if you want.
Yes.
With fire.
This is a
banish them.
This is a social engineering question. How did you become a felon and then not become a felon?
Well, the simple answer to that is I did things that the system believed were wrong, and they convicted me of 3 felonies. And then in Oregon, you just have to sit it out for 10 years, and then you talk to your lawyer, and you pay another $7,000 or so, and eventually you get expunged. So legally, how that works for me is that if you're an employer and you ask me, have you ever been convicted of a felony, I'm allowed to say no. How it doesn't work, though, which I found out last year when applying for the global early entry, which is the thing you can do when you come back internationally. You can go to a short line. They do a retina scan or something, and they let you in the short lines and stuff. Is that the feds, get this, this is stupid. The feds do not recognize the state expungement action, even though it was the state that convicted me. So they recognize the push up, but not the push back down. So I am still federally, as far as they're concerned, all sorts of services like Sentry and GOES and the other things I really want, I'm still a felon, and which really disturbs me because I thought that the expungement would take care of all of it. So I am still a felon from that respect. But for all of you are concerned, I'm no longer a felon.
He's a nice guy.
I don't know about guns. It's really weird. Oregon state law says I can. But that's like California state law says I can have marijuana. So it's only because the feds don't enforce some of the rules. So I could probably get away with a gun in Oregon.
No, you can. At least in North Carolina, I know you can get your CCW even if you've been a felon and waited it out.
Really? Well, maybe I'll move to North Carolina then.
Oh, hell.
Here we go. Anyway, we have some more introductions to go.
We just came really late. Yeah.
Was I the last one? I'm sorry. Hello, everybody.
All right, next question.
Please.
Up to the mic.
To the mic.
Don't be shy.
And to the robot penis, please.
Where's the album? We need him.
Explain social engineering. Are the one for that.
No, I'm going to take the question from the mic.
Yeah.
Randall. Thank you for teaching me Perl.
Thank you. Thank you for liking it. and doing stuff with it.
You mentioned in Hacking 101
yes.
that avoid MySQL.
Oh, I knew that was going to come up. I haven't had enough to drink yet to really describe that. Can we hold that for about an hour?
If I can have the beer next.
No, I will answer that, but in about an hour, if you don't mind.
All I want to know is, what do you prefer then? What do you recommend then?
Anything but okay, go ahead. I will answer that in an hour, and I'll answer why. Well, first off, okay, here's the short version to why not MySQL. Oracle is fucking with it. You do not want to be downstream of Oracle, okay? So everything that Oracle has touched in the open source community that Sun was doing well, Hudson became Jenkins. There's a couple of projects, forget the minor projects that Oracle's also messed up with. Solaris becomes Open Indiana, and which is now, there's some other project that's... what is it? Yeah, well, there's actually some downstream from Open Solaris that's actually doing really well, and I can't remember the name of it, unfortunately, because I can't Google for it. What is it? It's not FreeNAS. Intuos? No, that's not right. Something like that. Anyway, so the only thing that Oracle hasn't fucked with yet is VirtualBox. And I think the only way they haven't fucked with that is they don't realize they own it. So here's what I got. I interviewed Monty, the creator of MySQL, who left Sun, I think even before Oracle bought him out, I'm going to say 7 or 8 months ago on Floss Weekly. And the thing I got from him very clearly is that MariaDB, which is what he and his cohorts are working on, all of his former guys from Sun, all the guys that used to work at MySQL AB, MariaDB is essentially the upstream of MySQL at this point. So if you're wanting to run MySQL because you need the compatibility, you should just drop in MariaDB. It's 99.99% compatible with MySQL, and he's trying to keep it that way.
Hang on. I have to, just to keep everything legal here, I have to remind folks that the alcohol cannot flow from there up to here or the other way around. So, yes, if I were to see something like that, I'd have to say that that can't happen.
Yes.
So just for future reference.
He has to say
now,
that it can't
happen. You brought
happen.
Something with you.
Oh, look,
I
over
did.
There.
So,
Haley's comment, you
yes.
say...
I'm sorry, we I didn't bring it up for everybody.
Oh, that's quite all right.
We don't want to get Drew in a place where he has to actually report anything. So please tell him to close his eyes for a minute or so.
Okay, if I need to not see something, the safety word is, or phrase is, look Halley's Comet and point in a direction.
Halley's Comet. Halley's
no, this
Comet's
is Halley's, not Halley's Comet, because it's not going to be back for a while. This is Halley's Comet. I just made it up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Huh?
So the short version again, just to finish the question. Sorry that you're still up here waiting for me to finish my answer, but the short version is, if you're going to use anything, use MariaDB. If you have to have MySQL compatibility, MariaDB is in all the modern distros. If not, grab the source and install it. It will be 100% compatible as far as you're concerned with MySQL, and it keeps Oracle out of the equation. Just do it.
The question I have is based off of that. Did they name the database that because everybody loves LAMP?
Everybody loves what?
LAMP.
No. LAMPs? Why?
LAMP!
LAMP! I love LAMP.
No. MySQL is named after Monty's first daughter, actually, in his language. And MariaDB is named after his second daughter.
So he loves the letter M.
He loves his daughters.
And it's not coincidence?
Yes.
How dare he?
Or it is coincidence?
He loves his daughters. That's the story.
Because LAMP. Yeah. LAMP's a good acronym.
It is nice. His LAMP is nice.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you can keep using LAMP.
You could keep using LAMP, exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend
Ninja.
Susie the Floozy.
Yes.
Sub-genius queen of Atlanta. WREK star.
So we have an open mic.
Host
oh, there we go.
Of Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, and she's bringing in the black armband so that we may mark Alcapocalypse 2012.
If this is another database question.
Question? No. Question okay. I asked before.
Which is?
Penis.
Yes. Please explain to me how the robot penis works. No. Explain to me what you mean by social engineering. Because I have an idea in my head, but I'm Frank, a social person, so it's the LDR.
I'd say
let's go to Telco Bob.
Drew's the best of that.
Yeah.
Best
of well. Okay. Telco Bob is a master of it as well, and by God, he needs to.
Bingo.
So it's not really cut and dry, because there's definitely a lot of bleed over with social interaction, which is this thing I know a lot of us are afraid of. But it's just it's knowing what you need to do to get what you want and always get what you want. For example, I'm not supposed to be in the hotels. On the other side of town.
For example, if someone like you wanted to be in the hotels,
for example, if
and you weren't allowed.
Yes.
There, it's not him. We're talking about a hypothetical.
Knowing what to say to get you where you want.
And that's social engineering,
yes,
too.
That is
way
social engineering.
Position that.
Well, no. It has a lot to do with
it. It's the core of it, though.
It's solving a problem. It's solving a problem through social means. For example, say there's a system you're trying to get into. You can sit there and run Nmap all day, or I can call up the guy and just say, hey, I work for blah, blah, blah. I'm having a problem. Can you tell me some things about it?
I'll give you two examples of social engineering that I've done in my life that's worked really well. I was at a seminar once where they told me, it's a money seminar, seminar on money, and they told me, always ask for the discount. And I didn't understand what they meant. But I was at a Kinko's the next day picking up some printouts for my class that I was teaching. I'm hearing a lot of noise up here, and I can't talk when I'm hearing noise. Thank you. Okay. They always said ask for the discount. So I was in Kinko's the next day, and I'm chatting with this, you know, teenage kid that's ringing me up, and he said it'll be $72.50 or whatever it was, right? And I look at him straight in the eye, and I go, what about the discount? And he looks at me and goes, what discount? And I look back at him because, again, I was testing this out from the seminar the previous day. I said, you know, the discount. And he's a little befuddled and young, so he immediately goes off and gets his manager, who's only like 5 years older than he is, but he comes over to the register and says, sir, what's the dispute? And I said, I'm just asking about the discount. And he pulls out his calculator, and he taps on it a little bit, right? And he takes off 15% and says, here, I'm sorry, there's your total. And okay. I don't know what I was getting a discount for. That is social engineering.
So if
that's
you want to know
what social engineering's about,
it's not easily explained. Just come find me after the talk, and I'll show you.
Yeah.
Yes. The other example I have. Do you want one more example or not?
Okay. I can give you an example of how I got into CIA.
So I owned a part of GamesDomain.com, which back in the day was the number 3 website visited for console game tips. And my programmer, the guy who actually owned the company, who I held a part of, had put us at E3. And said, let's bring all the programmers for GamesDomain.com to E3, and let's all have a great time. Now, I haven't paid for a conference in 15 years, okay, because I'm always finding somebody to be a speaker or something. Like, here I am up in the front, right? This is how I got to be at Dragon Con for every time in 11 years, not paying for it, right? So I ask him, as we're there, like, the first day, and as we're walking towards the registration area, I go, so you got us all, because, you know, we're the number 3 site. I said, you got us like an exhibitor pass or something. He goes, oh, no, I thought we'd just pay retail for the access to E3. And I'm gawking. I'm like, what the F? Come on, guys. So as I'm walking by the entrance area, I see that there's a press sign-up area. So as they're listing the 18 sponsors of the conference, one of the sponsors happens to be the company that I write Perl columns for. Okay, not related to gaming or anything like that, just Perl columns. But I go, what the hell, let's give this a try. So I go through the snaky thing down to the front desk for the press sign-up area, And of course, they're listing, you must bring samples, you must bring examples of your work, you must have established things in the computer gaming area, whatever. So I stood there in front of the lady, and she says, so you're press? I say, yeah. She goes, do you have some samples with you? I said, I didn't think they were needed. And I just stood there, because, you know, the next person to talk loses, right? Okay. I just stood there. And she said, okay, go register.
Praise Bob.
Yeah. Okay, okay, we're back. Okay, so that's an example again. Keep in mind, whoever speaks first loses in that kind of a preposition. So keep that in mind. And so it's two great examples of social engineering where I had a goal, and I just went in there going, I want this result, and it's going to happen. And I need to keep saying the things that people need to hear to move that forward.
Here are my two quick examples. Except for the first year I attended Dragon Con as just a regular attendee, I've never paid to attend this convention. I've never had to wait in a line for a badge. And for the last 10 years, they've been paying for my hotel room. And I do a lot of crazy shit. So, you know, they're essentially paying me to bring an amateur nuclear reactor in here built by a 16-year-old out of eBay junk and then turn it on to see what happens. So,
by the way, I chatted with him up in the green room, and he's cool about my comment from last year.
What? You missed it. You'll have to come to Freaknik to see it again. Yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah. He almost...
Science! Check the science track. Also, there was a radio station up in Nashville, WRVU, may they rest in peace, the bastard sold the license. And I grew up listening to this radio station. It's where I discovered punk. It's where I discovered industrial. It's also where I discovered reggae and jazz and blues and a lot of good music as opposed to the mainstream top 40 genre crap that gets played on most radio stations. And I decided I want to be a DJ at this station. Even though it was Vanderbilt University's radio station, I'm not a student, I'm not faculty or staff, I'm not alumni, I actually have no reason to be there at all. I just started showing up to staff meetings and filled out the appropriate paperwork. People thought I was students, and I found out that the students who did, in fact, run the radio station liked to see the local bands play, and they liked to have someone buy them alcohol because they couldn't do it themselves. So an arrangement was made, and I was a DJ on one of the largest FM radio stations in Nashville, Tennessee, for 7 or 8 years before someone finally figured out, who the hell are you? Why are you here? You're not supposed to be here. And by then I'd won some awards, and they couldn't toss me out, so they created an entire fourth category of people they allowed to come in and DJ at the radio station. Select volunteers from the local listening community. So, social engineering. It's getting in and doing stuff that you're not supposed to be able to do because you don't want the people who think they should prevent you from doing it to actually prevent you from doing it.
There's a story about the OS X release of the graphing calculator. If you haven't seen that yet, go Google for it because I'm not going to do it justice here. But basically, the guy that was working on it for the OS X release was laid off. And he ended up working at Apple for another year and a half by going in nights and weekends.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
We have another. I hadn't thought of this. She has an excellent example of social engineering.
Well, this is still social engineering. So can I finish this and then she can go?
Yeah, but I'm being worked like a red mule this week.
I'll be right She's there. Actually supposed to be next door.
I'll be quick. Anyway, basically, the guy knew the people in release engineering. The guy knew... you know, how to build this thing. And if you haven't seen the graphing calculator in OS X, it's actually quite remarkable. But this guy was developing it for OS X completely off the grid. He was coming in every day. He had a badge that still worked. He was coming in every day developing this thing. And he got it into the final release, and nobody knew about it except his friends. So this is a great example of just getting something done that just works. There's a hand in the back for some reason. I don't know why you're not up here to the mic then, but you know something about that? Is that what you're saying? Are you the guy? Okay, wow. Well then, We have a story here.
No, that was okay. Me.
All right. You come up later and ask whatever you're going to ask. That's fine. Let's go ahead with this story here.
Okay. Okay, I'm a total bimbo, right? I mean, most of you wouldn't fuck me as far as you could fuck me. But on the other hand, for a couple of years, I worked as a courier. I got into all sorts of places. A bimbo, like me. I had, well, Bob Burden's theory was once, you can get in anywhere if you have a clipboard and you look like you know where you're going.
Yes.
To carry it into this century, it helps to have a work order. It helps to have a few names and a tangible destination.
Yeah.
I would pull up in a 95 Buick Regal with no markings. I wore, like, you know, jeans and a stupid T-shirt that wasn't too obscene. But, you know, no special outfit. I had, like, a pouch that had a pen and some, you know, order slips and things. If you get the right accoutrements and you have a work order and you know where you're going, you just go to the loading dock, you act harried, say, I've got to get up to blah, blah, blah. You sign something and go on in. And that you're there. You're in the freight elevators. You are in the bowels of the building.
That is a key to this.
Courier.
That is a key to this stuff, though, is if you act like you're under pressure from somebody else, and you're going to be very badly punished if you don't get this done.
It's like, look, there's
a lot of sympathy that
or just overly apologetic for everything.
I'm sorry, I just got to get this thing done. And,
yeah.
Also, I drove
accidentally on top of the Westin last night.
45 minutes on a company.
Because you've all been there. Are we going to replace the mic?
Nobody stopped me.
She's got
it. Oh, she's got it. Okay.
So, I'm just saying it can be done.
Yeah. Okay,
and,
yeah.
And
very good stuff.
To symbols.
I think we've covered social engineering for a bit, so let's move on. Thank you for that story.
You bet.
Okay, so.
Reverend Susie the Floozy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so those were a lot of really good examples of social engineering, and hacking is a pretty general term on its own.
Sure.
But what is maybe your favorite thing to mess with, whether it be a website, a program, a place?
People.
People.
Your favorite people area, like the people at Walmart, a company.
All people.
I'll give you a very specific example.
You people.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
We're working the crowd here, by the way. It's
hey,
good.
You paid to see us.
Yes. I'll give you an
Think
example.
Think about that. You paid to see us. What the fuck?
I'll give you another social engineering example that's actually useful.
This is true.
But you're asking what
we
category
have self-esteem issues.
We find most fun. I think it's individual. I think it's going to be individual.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I like to get things that make my life easier. One of the things that I like to get easier is that I fly a lot. Okay, so anything I can get out of the TSA helps me. Okay, one of the things, and actually I shared this with Bruce, and Bruce was really like, oh, God, you do that? I go, that works. He goes, yeah, I bet it does. So one of the things the TSA is always doing as they're looking at all of us is identifying friend or foe. You know, am I the good guy or am I the bad guy? Am I the good guy or am I the bad guy? Every time for the last 9 months as I have flown through an airport, I've worn a blue shirt and black pants. Why do you think I'm wearing a blue shirt and black pants? It's what they wear. They look at me, and then on some subtle level, they go,
he's one of us.
He's one of us. Exactly. At every point where a TSA agent has chosen whether people go to the magnometer or to the full body scan, 5 out of 5 times I've never gotten the magnometer. In other words, I get to leave my belt on, I get to leave my shoes, not my shoes on, but I get to leave my belt on and things out of my pocket. None of that matters anymore.
Just for the job you want, not the job you have.
Exactly. So it's a very useful social hack to recognize that they're doing IFF and I'm going to play the game.
Yeah, but I like that.
That's a job perk.
Yes.
Because they fancy you.
Yeah. Just saying that you pay attention to those signals like that. Yeah.
All right. Is this more of a debugging question?
Debugging.
Yes.
Debunking. Or
would you like our tech support rates?
Tech support.
I was just wondering, more of a process question. Do you guys find it easier to use debuggers depending on the environment? Do you find it easier just to print F, whatever it is that you...
I find it easier not to put bugs in.
Because we all know Randall's perfect.
It's how I roll. No, but I had print until it works. That's my strategy.
I hack people and scream at machines. Then I get fed up and I go do something that doesn't involve a computer.
No, seriously, I don't use the debugger except in small talk. Because in small talk, in the debugger, you can create new code and keep running from where you were. But in every other language, it sucks. Small talk expert back there, all right? Yeah.
Get it straight.
But in every other language, the debugger is so freaking useless because you're great, now that you find out this is the value, you got to go back and recompile stuff and run your code till it gets back to the same place. That's stupid. Just add print till it works. If you outcode yourself where you don't understand what you did the next five lines before you run the tests again, you're not programming. You need to only add enough lines of code where you're just at the edge of where you think it'll work or not. If you write 500 lines of code and then run for the first time, you're going to be crazy. You're going to go crazy with that stuff. You need to only add a few lines of code at a time. If you add a few lines of code at a time, recompile and run, and it still works, you can keep going. And when it breaks, you know it's those few lines you just added. That's been my strategy for years, and it's worked very well.
Well, I'd like to remind folks, by the way, that it's always polite to tip your bartender. I just thought I would toss that in there.
Yes. And I would like to say I love people that don't debug. If it runs, that's great, because when you release it, it's more fun.
Holes.
Job
holes.
Security.
Did we answer it for you?
So okay.
Thank you.
I'd like to add on to that, too. Have you ever heard of the rubber duck method of debugging, where you, like, explain it to an inanimate object? It works exceedingly well, because you think through the process, like, talking through it the entire time, and it works well. Well, for some people it would work, but I recommend trying it at least, but just explaining it to something that...
What if you don't have a rubber duck handy?
You just find talk to yourself, Drew.
Find your local five-year-old.
I don't have to. I hear the voices all the time.
One right there. Big yes, Ben, this is a rubber duck, and we're going to put the hammer down, 10-4.
Okay, yeah, a technique that I use when debugging, if I've been beating my head on something for an hour or so, and it's not working, and I think, okay, I'm going to go have to ask for help. There's going to be some smart guy on another floor or smart woman. And then I think, wait a minute, I'm going to ask them, and they're going to come over here, and they're going to look at my code, and they're going to say, oh, look, it's there. And then usually I spot the bug before I go ask them.
I just to interject before the next question, I have a mission for you being generic, should you choose to accept it. Y'all know the nice big touch screens they've got out there, the ones kind of off the lobby area?
Yeah.
I noticed if you tap the upper left corner once or twice, you get what looks like some kind of login screen. It's a nice little keypad, like a phone keypad with an OK and a cancel button. We've tried the defaults, but I'd be kind of curious to know what can be done if anyone should happen to, you know, have any information on that type of system. Not that I'm suggesting you go do anything malicious.
If you do, tweet EFF forums so we know about it.
Just, you know, exploring I'm interested in. Malicious stuff, no, let's not do that.
Sadly,
so
the
just, you know, don't tap
don't
the upper
be evil,
left corner, you'll get the little weird screen.
Sadly, any interface that's supposed to be just a public-facing interface should not have any kind of input like that, or should they ever display any kind of Windows error?
Or
what the hell? Okay, how many people here read the dailywtf.com? And how many people should, which is everybody else? Okay. The dailywtf.com is a required reading for everybody that ever gets near me about how not to code.
How about just not code?
My favorite example from that, they'll give you a sample of... am I out of place here? No, okay, so I'll just keep going. my favorite example from there is that in one example, one guy creates an enum type, which basically is a type of named states. Enum Boolean, which apparently overloads their existing Boolean, which really sucks, equals true, comma, false, comma, file not found.
Semicolon.
So, they created a tri-state Boolean. Yes. If that doesn't interest you as to how many other things on this website are just out of whack, please go look. TheDailyWTF.com. Check it out. Required reading for every programmer. Yes.
Jump on
okay.
in, sir.
Two questions. The girl sitting in your lap, is she your girlfriend?
Who?
I don't have a girl sitting in my lap, so no.
Oh. I'll take that as a yes.
I was going to say she's marking her turf.
Well, good luck tonight.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Drew, this is a question for you right here. And you rate...
Yes, sir.
You go ahead and rate this 1 to 10 on social engineering. Okay. I'm a little bit vodkalized right now, so forgive me.
No, I'm happy for you.
I like that word.
All right. Now,
I'm going to steal
that
word.
Do you mind if I list company names and model numbers?
Huh?
You mind if I list company names and model numbers?
Go for it.
Okay. Initially on eBay, I bought a M6400. I'm dyslexic right now.
No problem.
That
M6400 what?
It's a precision laptop, basically.
Oh, okay.
I called Dell, found out it had replacement warranty on it, as far as accidental damage. Called them, it accidentally got run over.
Okay.
And they replaced it with a $3,500 laptop.
Very good.
Now, I bought a laptop
hey,
for a client for about $350.
I think you're going to have to pause for a moment here.
Okay. Oh, come on, guys. Turn the fucking music off.
If you even call that music.
If they can't... If they can't take a joke, fuck them.
It's just a jump to the left. And then a step to the right. Put your hands on your head. Knees in tight. And it's pelvic. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. Christian, say yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
It's
a dream. It's a dream. It's a dream. It's a dream. It's a to the right. Put your hands on your hips. And leave your knees in tight. And it's a pelvic. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. And really listen, say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
Smooth Machine. Glad you can make it, guys. I'm glad you didn't catch on fire this time.
I was really worried. I spent all day fixing it, and it's really shoddily held together at the moment.
But
do we actually have an extinguisher?
You had a fire plan this time.
Throw it in the street and run away.
That's what we did last time.
I think there's enough beer in this room that qualifies as a fire extinguisher.
Oh, that would be alcohol abuse.
No, there's no alcohol here at all. Absolutely no alcohol here at all.
There's no alcohol up here on the table. We are obeying all state convention and hotel rules.
There's nothing here.
Do you guys have standing room here?
No.
Well, we got standing room somewhere. Find a wall and lean against it.
Yes.
And, of course, all of that's going to have to be cut. Because I'm not going to pay for royalty fees to the fucking RIAA, the PRS, or any other cunts like that.
Once again, if they can't take a joke, fuck
them. That was a parody. That was a parody of the original.
It's a parody, I believe.
You're safe.
I'll double check. I believe
hey, Josh,
we do pay
I'll
a
see you
license
back at the
to
house,
the
Meech
year so we can not have issues with the music. The 1 year they tried to squeeze us for extra money, Pat Henry simply said, okay, no music at the con this year, and fuck you guys, no licensing fees.
Yeah.
They came back and renegotiated next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm busy fighting the UK Intellectual Property Office over libel to do with collecting societies, so I'm
You're in
really
the U.S. fucking
up.
A, man. You're not in the U.K.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but you get libel, vacation, trolling, whatever.
If
yeah.
If the anime
anyway.
Track can do it, we can do it.
Yeah.
We have four people in queue.
And secondly,
right.
You need to learn the fucking dance right. That was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry to continue your question.
Do you recall what I was saying before we were so pleasantly interrupted?
I remember the first question, but I don't remember the second.
Okay.
Hey, guys from Grey Hat, it was a nice try to hack my script. It's doing Wall of Sheep. Keep giving it a whack.
Fuck you, Grey Hat.
All right. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Anyway. All right.
I
was talking about Dell with
the laptop that got run over by the car. Interesting.
Okay.
And you got the $3,500 replacement laptop.
I got an idea. I'd ordered a laptop for a customer. And I got it in and told Dell it was blue screening. It turned out it had on-site warranty. They came out, replaced the board, told them the same thing. It did it again. Told them the same thing again and told them, fuck this, I want another laptop. They sent me a brand new M4600 with a Core i7 processor, Extreme Edition. And it's about a $3,000 laptop right there. Does that constitute a social engineering?
Sure. It sounds pretty good to me. If you get another one, I'd like it.
So this is how you exploit Dell. Hey, I've never had a problem with Dell.
You got good stuff out of it, but Dell's kind of like low. You're learning, Grasshopper. Keep working your way up the scale.
Hey, I'm in IT. I've never had a problem with Dell.
You have achieved level 2. Level 3 is soon.
I hear Apple scores pretty easy, too.
You got swag.
Apple
good job.
Support
if you were to ever give beer, would this be a question that would earn one or two beers?
We can't say.
If I were to give beer, I would do so,
this
but
is,
I can't.
It's
therefore,
a virtual
you know.
Beer.
But you know, you can talk to one of
okay,
your friends who
I'll,
has.
Then hypothetically, if I were to take the taser gun, could I get three?
Huh?
There's no
beer
here.
If I were to take the taser gun, could I get
three? I have to remind you, I do not have alcohol, nor am I distributing it. However, if I were to hit you with the cattle prod, someone else who might be sufficiently impressed.
Whoa! Oh. He says,
now,
ooh.
Now that's through...
Bam! Fuck him off! Just get him off!
Is the ceiling leaking? What was that?
Vodka.
It's aliens.
They...
No, it's Gatorade, dog. Gatorade, thank you.
Yes.
Wow. So, yeah, keep in mind, it feels more interesting on skin than rather than going through a shirt. I did miss what happened. Is the ceiling leaking or was the...
Okay, well.
Oh, okay.
She's looking forward to a prod up here. So we'll
yes,
get
sir.
So, one, I'm mourning the loss of a homebrewing panel. Can I have a ribbon or are there any left?
Ribbon?
Ribbon?
The black ribbons?
Ribbon.
Oh,
ribbon.
Oh, yes.
Ribbon.
We need to
oh, not
a
ribbon.
Black in morning
ribbon.
With ribbon. Do we have any left?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not even related to this panel.
Yeah, but okay, so while we're waiting
and
for you, go ahead.
Second question.
Oh, I have one. How did I get one? This is
so there
weird.
Are certain services that allow you to remember one password, and then it tells you the passwords to all of the websites you visit, which are long and randomly generated.
Is this worse than just using the same password everywhere?
I don't use any of that stuff. Repeat the question again.
I'm saying, hypothetically speaking, is it worse to use the same password on every website or have one location where you type a password in and it tells you all the websites and passwords that you use?
I think they both kind of suck.
Sure.
Yeah. The thing with the homebrewing panel, yeah, that we had to end that as well because, yeah, I heard rumors. I wasn't there. I can't attest to the fact that there was some stuff that going on that maybe shouldn't have, so we figured we'd be safe rather than sorry. I'm sure, what the hell, what happened? One of y'all talked. And it wasn't a bad thing. It was like someone came to Hacking 201 last year who apparently hadn't been before, and they were ranting and raving about how wonderful this panel is. It was the coolest thing they'd ever seen at Dragon Con. They loved the tech talk and the sense of community and the people hanging out and ordering all the pizzas, and they'd never seen so many party favors before in their life, and they were ranting and raving to the guy who owns the convention.
Oops.
So...
bad.
Did they post a review on the Dragon Con app,
question,
maybe? Is that how he saw a comment?
If you have one good password that's covering the rest of yours, or maybe even two-factor authentication to get into your one good password thing, you might. I think it'd be better. I think it'd be far better than having the same password everywhere. The big problem is with same password everywhere is once they've broken any of the sites you've logged into, they can log on any of the other sites you've logged into. Whereas if they would have to break the meta password first to get to all your passwords, and that's not likely to happen anytime soon.
Off the record, that's a good start. But there is a learning curve to bring it up to the levels we've had in previous years. So, you know.
What's the that
kudos,
you're pointing
good,
at?
Good effort.
You're pointing it as
but,
waste.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
Talk to me later on about, I'll give you hints and tips.
Where were you pointing? What were you talking about when you said that's a good start? You're pointing it as waste.
No, I was pointing to his crotch.
That's insane. Why?
Opa.
Why are you pointing at him?
Because, as you can see, he was apparently...
I'm going to sit this down. I'm going to forget about it.
No, you're not.
I was pointing to his crotch because he's got tinfoil wrapped around it, so he was obviously at the fusion panel. For those of you who weren't there...
I don't even understand where we're going here.
For those of you who weren't there, we had rolls of tinfoil. We were tearing off sheets and handing it to the people who were sitting closest to the fusion reactor and saying, wrap this around whatever you care about most.
Is that what this is about? No, I saw
the tinfoil. I had to comment on it.
You saw the tinfoil on his crotch? I'm here, I can't see that. How do you see?
You've been drinking. You've been in the green room.
On his crotch. I guess this is the protocol for how you get alcohol up here.
Once upon a time, there used to be a.
If you want to bring alcohol to us, wrap tinfoil around your crotch. This apparently is the protocol. I did not get informed of this soon. Haley's Comet. Oh my God. All right. That's how it works. Thank you.
What's upon a time?
I don't understand.
Once upon a time, there used to be a piano.
Why is his crotch sacred? I don't understand.
I like what you're doing there, sir.
There are too many people around.
And how do I get in that category? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. I'm fine. I'm good to go.
I'm good. I'm all caffeinated up. Thank you very much. No coke for me.
I'm a two-fisted drinker. I can't go anymore. No, I'm fine. I'm fine for now.
So,
yes, seriously.
Once upon a time, there used to be a piano in one of the host hotel lobbies.
Piano.
And a friend of mine, I believe his handle was Diffused 2. 2001 era panelist, Mr. Reagan's.
You want the piano story?
Yes, I want
the piano. Have you heard the piano story?
I've heard the piano story,
okay.
But I don't think these people have heard the
Who's heard the piano story?
I have.
Oh, who has not? Okay, so who has not heard the piano?
Most
okay,
the
great.
Yeah.
This actually goes back. Okay, this
Uncle Johnny, tell us the piano story.
This is one of those.
Gather round, kids.
This is one of those hacking things. And
story
time. Story. So, does anyone have a bottle cap opener for my bottle of Coke, by the way?
Here. Yeah. Would you like one?
He has a Coke bottle up here that needs opening.
Let me have a good swig of caffeine here. Thank you, sir.
It's base Coke. Base Coke.
In the Hyatt, many years ago when the convention was much smaller, they had a player piano in the lobby there by the elevators. And you could tell this is when the con was much smaller, because there was actually room to freely walk around in there and have a piano at the same time. So I think this may have been our second time at the convention. It was the first year we were doing the EFF track stuff, and when we were just starting off. And it's a player piano there. Let's go have a look at it, because, you know, player pianos used to do the punched music scrolling, and we wanted to see how it was playing. Had this little gizmo on the bottom that took a floppy disk. And you remember those? And that's what the music files were on. We found out later. I remember when it took a punch roll. Yeah. We didn't. Yeah, me too. We used to have one of those.
Okay.
I'm so old.
Yes.
We're old. I admit it. We were like, well, that's pretty cool, but they should be playing science fiction music. So let's get the make and the model number off this thing. Let's copy the floppy disk, because, you know, we weren't going to be evil. We weren't going to steal it.
Don't copy your floppy. That's piracy.
We didn't know where to buy it. We wanted to see what it was.
That's a good excuse.
We didn't want to take the original, because that would deprive people of the music that was being played. We were not being evil. We wanted to find out what it was and see if they had sci-fi music. So, copy the floppy. We examined it. It turned out they were just modified MIDI files. And in fact, they would take MIDI files. So we came back the next year with a stack of floppy disks. And we figured it's always better to ask for forgiveness than permission. So,
you wouldn't do that either.
Only when caught.
Only when caught. Yeah, exactly.
So, but you know, again, we weren't going to steal their floppy or anything. We had an envelope with some double stick tape that would not leave a mark on their device, and we pulled the floppy out and put in the envelope, stuck it on the bottom. I remembered that part. I'd forgotten that in earlier times, because we didn't want to steal anything. We put our floppy in. We'd gotten instructions from the company on how it worked, how to restart, get it play, blah blah blah. So, you know, no one over on the bellhop stands looking. People are busy checking in. Put ours in, play, walk away. Dun 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 dun.
That's hacking.
We felt pretty damn smug, so we, you know, went off and did other things. We came back a little bit later. Boring jazz music, you know. Like you would hear on a light jazz. Yeah, well, they'd taken our floppy disk out, and they was playing the boring music again. So, okay, coast is clear. Feeling smug again. Come back a little bit later. No music at all.
Nice.
Turn it back on, pop another floppy disk in. This time, head start jerking up. Fortunately, there was a crowd. We disappear. Blah blah blah. Come back a little bit later, thinking, this, you know, we might be escalating things. It was off, and they had removed the power cord.
Nice.
But we're hackers, so you know, power cords are cheap.
Probably a standard power cord.
It was a standard power cord. Right, just went up and had little hooks on the legs of the piano.
Nice.
Check back later today. Figure, okay, you know, we're getting to a war of escalation here. No music. Power cord is gone.
And the piano's gone.
No. The outlet that the power cord plugged into it had a metal plate screwed over it.
Oh.
We just whip out the Leatherman tool, man.
But
and another power cord, another floppy disk.
That literally is the meaning of...
It was more difficult to get away at this one. We had to start causing distractions in other places.
That is the literal meaning of screwed over.
They one-upped us in a way we couldn't quite defeat. The piano was gone.
Yes.
We found the piano later that day. It was locked in a closet, and we thought, you know, it's on wheels. We got lockpicks here. We want to come back.
This is the nice thing about being on this panel. Everybody knows how to pick locks except for me, but that's all good.
The following year, we were thinking, maybe we'll actually try to get the piano out. But again, they kind of were expecting it. They had this sort of waist-high partition thing next to the bellhop stand. It was part of the building infrastructure. They put the piano on top of it. So, we couldn't get close to it. There was no place to plug in. There were people like this close away from the, yeah. So they won that round, but by God, yeah, we did provide the appropriate music for a while.
Thank you.
I've never heard. In other words, they were hardening the piano.
Next, please.
They just removed it.
Yeah.
One question: would that be worth a beer? If you were, you know, in the business of handing out.
What is a beer?
Sure.
What?
If I were in the business of handing out such refreshments, which I am not.
I think so.
Which we obviously have nothing up here, and people can take pictures if they wish and post them online.
Which we're proving that we do not have anything up here to give away.
Nothing.
That'd be great.
Yeah, everyone.
Wait, that's so ancient, a computer. Will that actually work? Is that a computer of some kind? Really? Wow.
Randall is old.
It's not an iPhone. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. Right. It has a physical keyboard. What the hell would that be? Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I've got a question. Do any of you know a more secure alternative to DNS?
Security DNS. Security DNS. Yeah, DNSSEC. Yeah, it's all in there.
Seriously.
It's already there. It's already there. Yes. And the problem is with DNS.
Easy question, easy answer.
The problem with DNS is you have to remember that you have to have interoperability. So you can't implement anything crazy without everybody agreeing to it. Because I look up google.com, I have to know that what I'm doing is sensible. And so whatever looks up google.com on my client side has to make sense. So you can't implement any more security than what everybody agrees to. And DNSSEC is the next step up from raw DNS, and I'm happy that it's there. Because that's
just
probably
had
what we have.
An idea.
What about like what you do to bypass certain like hotel Wi-Fis, though, with DNS over IP, like, or...
IP over DNS.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. I got it backwards.
That rocks. What's the question?
That was the question.
My answer is Dan
Kaminsky. Someone
like
get that.
You.
Come on.
Why are you answering Dan Kaminsky? It doesn't matter.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yeah, my question's pretty basic.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Please.
My question is relatively basic, but I'm in school.
Sorry.
I'm reading the books, the textbooks, and I'm pretty bored. And I'm wondering what is out there that would be a good place to start reading beyond what they're actually feeding us from Microsoft.
About
security and about sustaining.
Well,
systems.
Microsoft's not teaching you anything about security.
It's a good paperweight.
Yeah, go look up 2600 Magazine, Make Magazine, get the books Randall wrote. In fact, anything from O'Reilly.
We'll give you a reading list. In fact, I think we can probably post it on the EFF DragonCon.org website. But reading alone is not going to do it for you. You actually have to play.
Right.
And the way to do that... fortunately, we're in the 21st century, so people are throwing away computers that were more powerful than anything that existed in the 1980s, like all of the computing power on the planet. You can build a cheap computer network to fuck around with. And
like
that's
the one in my house?
Yeah, just network a bunch of computers together. You'll learn all sorts of stuff by just getting junk, making it work, hooking it up, learning how to hook it up, hacking and attacking and defending your own computers, and it keeps you out of other people's systems and doing naughty stuff that can be that can put you in jail. You don't have to do that anymore. The reason people didn't
even better
in the days, they just didn't have access.
Even better. You don't have to have multiple computers. You could have multiple VMs on your machine.
Yeah.
In your machine. You could set up all sorts of
virtual
nets and stuff. It's very cool. You could have this machine talking to this machine talking to this machine on your machine. And see how it all works together.
Also,
if you're really feeling motivated, pick up some. You won't be able to find cheap Juniper gear, but you can get the Junos images. So try to find some Junos images and make some. They're called Juniper Olives. They're like Juniper routers running on a PC. And pick up some cheap Cisco stuff and learn how it works. Hook that up. Add that to your network. Play with it. Hack it. Crack it.
Cisco I can handle.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, good. You're doing good. You're doing better than a lot of
things. You're on the right track.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like
Thank
Juniper
you.
A lot better, though.
All right.
Good question.
Next, Oz staff.
Where's our telephone friend from previous years?
Telephone friend? Which
one?
Fuller.
Yeah, what happened? Oh, yeah. Fuller.
Yeah, I have an update. So those of you who may remember in previous years, we have a Hacking 201 regular named Fuller, who ran into some trouble with the law a few years ago, was arrested, was imprisoned, and was calling in each year from prison. I'm happy to report he is now out of prison.
Yay!
So the next question is, why isn't he here at Dragon Con? And that's because he's still on parole, and he had a chat with his parole officer about it. His parole officer said no to Dragon Con this year. Fuller, also the tricky thing is he has to find work. He's still not allowed to use a computer, which makes it kind of tricky to find something to do. He's working as a salesperson at an art gallery, I believe. I did have dinner with him right before Dragon Con. I gave him a hug. It was great to see him again. I encouraged him to write a letter, so I have the letter here, which I will read from
Please
Fuller.
Read.
All right. Hello, everyone. I had hoped to be returning to DragonCon this year and the EFF panels. Alas, that will not be happening. Per my PO, DragonCon is one of the few things they say absolutely no to. Yeah. Well, I got out of the halfway house in May, and after lots of prayer and planning, I am now living back at home.
Wow.
From May to August, I was floating around between various extended stay hotels. Here's an interesting tidbit of information. The state currently has several laws for residency and work, depending on when the crime commit date was. If you committed the crime before July 2003, there are no restrictions. From 2003 to 2006, there is just a residency restriction of 1,000 feet, with certain exemptions, of which I fall under one of the rare ones. From 2006 to 2008, there is a work restriction of 1,000 feet, as well as the residency restriction, and it includes more locations. From 2008 to present, it includes even more locations. This one even includes volunteering at a church, i.e. it could mean that you could be restricted from ushering, reading lessons, etc. at church, as this would be volunteer activity. Also, I cannot use a computer at all right now. This may change in the future, but for now, nothing. I'm keeping my fingers crossed on this. Internet is completely out until I get off probation. 56 months and change. You know, here's a poll. Can you go without the internet for more than a few days?
Yeah.
My finances are slowly getting rebuilt. My investments from the past few years have made a small cushion during this transition time. Other than that, I look forward to listening to the MP3s of the panel when they get posted. I look forward to the time when my life can get back to normal. In the meantime, everyone, please be safe. And think about what you do on the net. Fuller.
Amen. Amen.
This is so awesome.
How people used to communicate before the interwebs.
For our kind, yes. Yeah.
Also, he's now that he's back home, he's gone through all of his computer equipment, which he's not allowed to use, and he's trying to liquidate everything to raise some money. So if anyone wants, I have a list here of a bunch of things that he's getting rid of. He says you can just make an offer, no shipping, local pickup only, and I can put you in touch with him. I'm going to go through the list real quick. He's got two Altion networks, Ace Director 3 load balancers, and one APC 1400 UPS, one APC 1400 XL, UPS, an HDS tracker system V with an FTA satellite receiver, an HDS tracker system 8 plus an FTA satellite receiver, two four-post racks with round screws, two four-post rack shelves fixed, three four-post rack shelves sliding, one four-line Castell FaxPress 3500 token ring, one Raritan computer interface module, model UKVM, one Intel NetPort Express Pro, two parallel, one serial, 10-base T2 print server, two HP ProCurve 2424M Gig Stat Kit, model J4116A, with cable, new, possibly sealed, one Meridian phone system and modules, 25-user, which he was working on when it was removed 8.5 years ago, two fiber cables, 6-foot and 25-foot, one Leviton fiber termination box, and hundreds of assorted older cables, IDE floppy serial, SCSI parallel power, and etc. So anybody wants any, you know, we got a list here.
Indeed.
Okay. I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to open a good can of worms, I hope.
Can of worms is good.
So let's go with this, right? I'm going to talk about ecosystems, right? Microsoft ecosystem, Apple ecosystem, Nix, whatever. What makes one better than the other? I know I'm in a big crowd.
Quality.
Of
they all suck.
Money, they all suck, right?
They all suck in different ways, but they all suck.
They all suck, right?
Every single one.
Okay, all right.
I hate computers.
Oh, come on. You got to do better than that. No,
I love them, but I hate them. They all suck.
We're all masochists.
No, seriously. I know there's plenty of hate about how the Apple ecosystem sucks, code breaking shit. There's tons of stuff, right?
They suck for different reasons, but they all suck.
Yeah. So,
exactly. So at that level,
let's go further.
Microsoft, because it's Microsoft.
Is it cost? Are you sure?
It is.
Cost. So it's money.
Because I can buy an administrator to point and click for Windows very cheap.
Mike.
If I buy a Linux administrator, I can buy a Windows administrator very cheap.
Yeah, because they're very cheap.
Point and click.
The wise words.
Linux administrators.
Good point.
Far more technical skill.
Yeah.
More money.
Exactly, because they're smarter.
Mac administrators. You can only do what Apple says. I mean, there's really nothing there.
Maybe.
It's really about technical skill. Windows. Windows only.
I'm stealing
point
that.
And click.
That's good.
Very little skill. Mac, nothing. You only do what Apple does.
So what's your point?
That's all it is. It's all about money.
You want more than what's in this bottle.
It's all about money. That's why Windows, Apple, Linux. I've not been drinking. Not at all.
Wait, how does money factor into an open source project?
I'm confused now.
You have to pay
confused.
For it somehow.
Why?
Wait, no,
what's
you don't. You have to have a bunch of 12-year-olds all over the world.
I have an evil plot. Would you all like to hear my evil plot?
Let's hear it!
It involves furries, and I thought you might be interested in it as well. Yeah. Okay. So here is my evil plot. Here is this is a science track evil plot, but I'm open sourcing it to the entire community because I want everybody involved. Now. Okay. I'll be honest, no offense, I don't get you guys. I think you're weird.
But it's cool.
You know, I love the fact that you are visually interesting and you induce horror in so many other congoers. Crack the fuck on.
Yeah!
We need more people like you here. I have been working with the Atlanta furry community on and off for about 2 years now to get a track of furry programming at DragonCon simply to horrify the rest of the convention. Yes. Why?
Yes.
Because I'm science track and we're evil.
Solidarity amongst furries.
So we are working on a track, an underground track of furry programming next year. We're calling it the Furry Underground Network, or FUN. We will have a daily newspaper called the Furry Dragon. If you would like to be part of this, I've already got some furry contacts, but if you would like to be a part of this and spread the word, if other people would like to bring the furry community officially into Dragon Con... Talk to me.
Well, and I was also thinking a great... No.
Sure.
Harry, not a furry.
Furry nipples.
I'm thinking the best place to handle this is... I think it needs to go down in the Atlanta Underground.
No, it needs to be here. I get the joke, but no. It needs to be here. So, what do you think? Furry track at DragonCon? Furry track of programming?
Not a furry.
We could even discuss panels, and I'm thinking, this is inspired by the geek hierarchy chart. I'm thinking one of the panels, it needs to be done totally deadpan, completely serious, the art of furry fanfic writing. How to be the best Mary Sue you can possibly be.
I am a military bear. Do you know what a Jody call is?
What?
Do you know who Jody is?
No.
Fuck Jody.
Your wife does.
Jody. Say it again. They were interrupting.
Not a furry. U.S. military bear.
He's armed. I'll point out the bear is armed.
Okay. I get it. Yeah. Okay.
Some girl out here.
Yeah. That's you. That's you in there. Okay.
My apologies.
Can we give the bear a beer?
I think if the audience thinks the bear should have a beer, then the audience should give the bear a beer. I can't do that. Ooh-yah.
Whoa. No. No, you got some free committee. Thanks. There we go.
Put in his hand.
Put it in your anus.
Hang on. Bottle opener.
We have to open it.
Ooh yeah.
Yes.
I'm a bear, not a keyboard.
This is
if the bear can fight for his country, he's old enough to drink.
This is bearable.
Oh, well, we tried. The offer is there if you want it.
The bear does not believe in mixing alcohol and firearms.
Amen.
The bear is on the lookout for other bears that may have nefarious designs towards youngsters. Some might have known them as Pedo Bear.
Pedo Bear.
You're like a goddamn ninja, sir.
Shoot outside. Oh, Bud Light. That's
you forgot. Look, Haley. You.
Wow. I bow to your ability to stay hydrated.
That's up to him. I have nothing to do with
that. The key is
that.
Not to hydrate. Because once you're in here, there's no peeing.
Look, Haley's comment.
Except in that spacesuit sort of way.
I'll drink it for you. You need help? No, I'll drink the beer for you.
Beer, man. Drink the beer, bear.
Second Amendment.
Drink it.
Hell no.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Drink it like it's a hot
look. Oh.
Drink it slow.
I can't believe that came out of your mouth. Oh.
I'm glad I didn't go on the mic.
Maybe it's not.
We'll see.
Thank you, Bear!
Bear! Thank you for your service to our country, sincerely.
Sincerely, hot and lonely.
I can't comment on that. Sorry.
So,
oh, go, yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm thinking about. Yeah,
semi-serious question.
I could actually.
Y'all, shut up. We got a question.
I got paper and stuff.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of what you do on the web.
Yes.
Tor, is it? Do you believe it's secure? Do you use it?
No.
Is it worth using? Every day?
It's an interesting idea, but it's slow as hell. That's been
slow
my experience.
Okay.
But,
slow
you know,
as hell, and we have...
Oh, I haven't tried it in about 18
the
months.
The more people that get on it, maybe the faster it'll get. And
there are enough exit nodes already in the CIA purview that if you do not want the U.S. government realizing who you are... Do not use Tor.
So right now it's like the opposite of secure. It's
It might be fun to experiment with. I don't know. I haven't tried it in about a year and a half. I'll check it out again.
Ideally, it would be all that, but...
If everybody had a distributed browsing experience, then hopefully your own browsing would be secure.
Right, but at this point, I think the CIA and the NSA is actually taking up all the outbound
right now
nodes.
It's not good yet.
No.
All right.
Well, maybe you could just Tor text messages to them and say, "Hi, CIA and NSA guys, how you doing?"
All right.
Yes, sir.
What is your take on bitcoins currently?
On what?
What?
Bitcoin.
Shut up, guys.
I'm not familiar with that. Explain.
Bitcoin. Is the word.
It's a fucking huge scam, dude.
What are we talking about? I couldn't hear.
Why is it a scam? What is it and why is it a scam?
It is an alternate money system.
Okay, you go.
It is an alternate money system called Bitcoin. It is not backed by any particular individual nation and is conceivably, theoretically, anonymous.
Theoretically, yes.
I'm skeptical,
you can't
and
trace
I want
back
proof.
To the original transactions.
Yeah, I realize all that, but it's the theory, you know, like we're on.
But theory don't mean shit when the feds come knocking at your door.
Yeah, exactly.
It was invented in 2009. Give it a couple years, dude.
Okay, interesting in theory, but I'm skeptical until I see practical implementation, and a lot of people who are a lot smarter than me say, wow, this is cool.
And I'm sorry, just to interject, the creator is anonymous, but the transaction is not. So when you make a transaction, it is totally recorded and public.
Well, okay, so the way it works is everyone has the entire transaction history of everyone.
Yes,
correct.
Yes, on a offline backupable, unnamed account. There is no name. You may not even put a name on the account.
But that does not matter because you can infer back from it.
You may move the account to any computer.
Yep.
I don't know.
I mean, I really like it as an idea, but I wouldn't use it.
The implementation.
Dan Kaminsky has made some permanent ASCII art in Bitcoin. It does not go away. Ever once it's created.
ASCII art with Bitcoin.
Interesting. Whoa!
Party foul.
No, he just took it out of the holder.
He just uncleared it.
There he goes. We'll see how it works.
I broke the penis holder. That's what I did. Okay, you look sufficiently drunk, and it's been about an hour. Somebody asked you a question an hour ago.
Yeah. Good call, Randall.
I'm sorry. What I meant was, you seem like your medication has kicked in.
Hey, wait, no. I am.
We're
good on this. He came from Dragon Con's VIP green room.
Yeah, he was drunk when we found him.
All right.
I'm doubly.
So we can't be blamed for this. The convention itself got him trashed, not us.
Randall has a problem.
But I'm willing to answer whatever question you're about to propose.
I actually have no idea what the fucking question was. Somebody else asked.
Why the hell are you up?
Because the person probably didn't remember.
Sit down.
Wait. Wow. He agrees, so make it a good question.
The question was, why is MySQL really bad?
Thank you, Ted. I answered that already, which is MySQL is Oracle-based, and you should all be using MariaDB. That's all I'm saying.
What about PHP?
Well, PHP just fucked. And why would I even have to address that?
Yeah.
That's the question.
I would really like you to address that, Randall.
No, you don't. No, you
address
don't.
That.
No, you don't want me to address that. Oh, apparently I'm getting a lot of alcohol up here to address that.
That's water.
That's Kool-Aid.
Is that what you're doing?
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
No. Let's take this guy's question.
Okay, yes, sir.
I've seen this before.
Okay. I just have to ask, what's up with the ears?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you asked that.
The question was, what's up with the ears?
Explain the ears, and apparently one of them is broken, so we're willing to trust the community here and let you all see if you can fix them or modify them in interesting ways.
Is this the animatronic ears?
Yeah, explain the ears, because you can explain them better than I can.
Okay.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, my God.
I recently attended Otakon earlier this summer.
Wow.
Thank you for bringing us these homebrew soft drinks. Yeah, like advertised on TV. Hey, do you want to get prodded? Do you want to get cattle prodded?
This girl.
Do you want to get cattle prodded?
This girl. We like this girl.
Do you want to get cattle prodded?
Will you marry me?
Ms. Jedi, do you want to get cattle prodded?
I want her to have my love shot.
All right, yeah, we got to do the photo op. Okay.
Jenny, welcome. Welcome to our panel.
Wonder Woman is about to be cattle prodded.
If you have a question and it's not related to Jedi Jenny, just go sit down.
Get the fuck out.
Really?
It's over.
Because Jedi Jenny is a friend of mine, and she is awesome. So, just go sit down.
I love her.
Yeah, I know.
It's how I go. It's how I roll.
Damn it, I have to piss again.
Yeah, Jenny, she's gonna come up and sit up with us here, up here. But she won't. No, no ice.
Is it just me or are we more chaotic?
It's pretty chaotic. Pretty chaotic.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
The
ears. The ears.
We are waiting for the story about the ears.
All right. So apparently these are some kind of mechanical ears. Gotten at Otakon.
Yes.
Mechamimi. And they were going like hotcakes at the con. We're doing our Penn and Teller routine. She doesn't talk. Yeah, she finally got batteries today after needing batteries for them all weekend. And then her left ear died. Apparently they used some sort of thing here to trigger the motion of the ears according to... Two brainwave sensors. So anyone who wants to have a look at the left ear and see if you can figure out why it's not moving or working properly, we'll be more than happy to pass them around and let y'all play with them.
More cowbell. Regarding the ears, I played with my friends earlier today, and they're fucking awesome. And I want to buy some. They're like fucking $120. But I want to play with some and modify them. Because apparently they have some kind of brain sensor on them. And it's a really cheap brain sensor considering what you get. It's like...
Like an EEG?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I've got an EEG.
All right.
Well, she can play.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Really? Cool.
Yes, sir.
All right. So seeing how you social engineered your way into the CIA...
Very good story.
What is your biggest fear about government security in the next 5 years? If anybody would shut up.
Shut the fuck up and let Ilanka talk.
Government, I mean, that's a big question. Government security in many different ways. And I've had a couple beers just to say. I often have this debate with people where we talk about security and about slippery slope, and they're worried about the government is watching them and doing all these things and listening to what they're saying. And because I know so many people in the government, I know how untrue that is, that many people in the government are just way too busy to listen to a lot of the chatter that's going on. And I also know that there's all these checks and balances that are in place to prevent information being misused. I think my biggest fear is that those checks and balances will go away and that some of the information will be misused in some way. But to date, I haven't... Right now, I think the government works pretty well as far as that goes. So that's it.
Oh, What?
I'm sure he's getting this.
Yes, Eric?
So this one's frivolous and for Randall.
Shut up!
So I'm a Floss Weekly listener.
Hey, thank you.
So, dude, how many cruises a year do you go on?
Seven.
No.
I counted them. It was 10.
That was easy. That was, what the hell? Why would you ask me? That's good. Thank you. Seven cruises a year.
All righty, I have another question. Are there any parties after this party? And if so, what's the password to get in?
This, yes, and I don't know.
This is the party.
Cool. Also, another question.
Sure.
Are there any web scripting languages that don't blow steaming chunks?
No.
Darn.
They're kind of like OSs. They all suck, but they all suck in different ways.
Ah.
Yes. Exactly.
Next question.
I was curious about, since Curiosity recently landed on Mars,
yes,
that do you foresee maybe someone taking advantage of trying to hack into that system or maybe even future probes?
That would actually be kind of difficult. They take security with that stuff pretty seriously. Plus, you know, you figure even Mars, depending on the position of the planets and if you're relaying through parts of the deep space network, it can take anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour and a half for a signal to go round trip. If you're interested in messing with things in outer space, you're going to have a much easier time with the commercial satellite network. And interestingly enough, apparently, according to someone far more knowledgeable about this stuff than I am, Mike Lynn, the security on a lot of commercial satellites is really bad, really bad. And now this is not like the military stuff, but for the commercial satellite stuff, you figure a lot of they've got a limited lifespan. They have a very limited amount of maneuvering fuel. And if you wanted to fuck with a commercial satellite, the easiest way to do it would simply be to have it fire all of its remaining maneuvering fuel and put it in an uncontrollable tumble. And then it would lose all communications with the ground stations. And according to my source, who I previously named, he's very surprised that no one has already done this to, like, the Super Bowl or something, or better yet, threatened to do it shortly before the Super Bowl in exchange and demand a large sum of money not to do it. Sort of like...
Not that you should do that.
Yeah. I don't have the skills to do that kind of shit. But apparently...
That's classified, sir.
Well, no, I'll answer.
No.
Yeah, actually, the Atlanta Radio Club people did a scavenger hunt last night where they sent several teams out with radios to see what kind of traffic they could pick up. Hilton Security did not like the fact that they discovered that the Hilton Security people were hanging out in their office watching football games most of the night. So,
and if you can receive it, you can probably
now. Granted, I will say this: we're kind of a pretty low risk crowd, so they were probably really bored shitless. The Hilton security people were probably really, really bored, so I don't blame them for watching football. It's just they didn't want other people to know that they had nothing else to do.
You mean Dragon Con is a low security risk place?
The Hilton is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of like... we're not a big security risk.
We
really aren't.
Well.
We tend to play well with others and be polite and not break shit most of the time.
To go with the hacking satellites, I can send you some plans for building a really cheap antenna to talk to whatever you want.
Well, you can get that stuff from the ARRL and other ham radio folks. And as for the illegal stuff, I don't want to know. I'm no longer a minor.
I might like to know.
Good night.
Yeah, ever since the thing in Chile.
Shut up. Jedi Jenny's stuff is really good. Her homebrew
it's fucking good.
Soft drinks.
I want Jedi Jenny to marry me.
Yes, sir.
So do I.
I have a math question for whoever is least capable of answering math questions right now.
This man is least capable.
Least capable. Yes.
What's your question?
I live up at the north end of the train line.
What?
Sorry, what?
I may actually be able to help you with this one. The North Spring Station?
Yes.
What about it?
I was going to ask the person least capable of answering math problems, if I stay for pizza, what is the probability that I will be stuck here with you crazy bastards? And
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
75.
Yeah.
There we go.
When does Marta stop running at 2?
Is it 2 or is it 1? When does Marta stop? 2 or 1:30?
That only
1:30.
Dude, you can walk that. I walked from here to Dunwoody.
If you stay for
pizza,
you should probably staying until the trains start running again in the morning.
That was
all right. We'll probably still be going.
You missed the second part of the question. Should I care?
No.
Sure, have a beer.
Actually, I don't drink. Have someone else have it, just you may.
Once again, I must remind the audience that you have to be 21 to drink in the state of Tennessee, and that neither DragonCon staff nor panel. Oh, and Georgia too. Yes, I'm in Georgia now, aren't I?
Yeah, wrong state, dude.
Yeah. And you know, we can't distribute anything to you, nor would we. So next question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. This is the state of robot penis, not Tennessee.
Okay.
What would you like to know about robot penises?
This is the man to ask.
Go on.
Does anyone know if robot chicken has been renewed?
Last more than 4 hours, so I've seen a doctor.
Yeah.
Only if it burns.
Okay. You have to wait 8 hours for that.
No more questions?
Get your asses to the mic.
We have 20 minutes to kill before we order pizza.
Let me see. I know you were talking about hacking satellites, and I always thought the coolest thing, April Fool's joke ever, would be to fake extraterrestrial signals to a SETI satellite or something.
That would be difficult. I mean, okay, funny concept, but actually making it happen would be really difficult because there's some really good, smart people who would know how to weed out the type of pranks. Yeah.
I am totally cool with it.
You just get an insider.
You'd have to have multiple contacts. You'd have to be able to have multiple ground stations receiving the same contact, and the parallax from anything within the solar system would be almost immediately obvious. So,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, that was...
Okay.
Actually, a slightly more in-depth answer on that one would be...
What?
You
have
satellite.
To speak into the mic.
Okay. Slightly more in-depth answer to that one.
Louder.
A slightly more in-depth answer to that one would be you would need a satellite as an origin signal.
A satellite as an origin signal wouldn't work, again, because multiple ground stations would see it coming from different parts of the sky, and it would be immediately obvious that it was close, not far.
Yes, I am aware of that. It would need to be a satellite, and you would need to launch it on a rather odd orbit.
Even anything in way beyond geosynchronous orbit would still be pretty obvious.
Likely. Okay, my actual question.
And the type of hardware you'd need. The type of hardware you'd need to get anything into even that type of orbit. We're talking Saturn V type.
Yeah,
no one builds those anymore.
Right, which is why the answer is no.
Yeah, the answer
right.
is no.
So anyway, my actual question, which I had,
okay.
Was when.
I'm good. I'm good.
When coding for a buffer overflow attack in Perl, any suggestions?
What?
You're on, Randall.
Perl? What?
Would you like to know that phrase? Coding for a buffer overflow attack in Perl.
Termination.
Perl does not allow for a buffer overflow attack. So,
he's going to regret
you
that.
You do not need to actually work for that. It's not a problem.
What about
could you explain why Perl does not allow you to do that? I don't understand. No, No, that's a serious question. I don't understand. Why does Pearl not allow you to do that?
I don't know.
It just works out because apparently they're all happy. It's all good. It's all good.
The answer is because it's all good?
It's all good, it's all good. Yes.
There you go.
Okay, I have two questions.
Yes, sir.
One, what, if any, physical security do commercial and military satellites have while they're in orbit? And the second one, I'll let you answer the first one.
We do have a panel from a few years back. For those of you, by the way, who've been wondering where the science track audio has been, we had a really bad server crash about a year and a half ago, and I'm an idiot. I didn't have backups of the MP3s. Hang on. I do have the original source tapes. I record this stuff on VHS. Yeah, I know, VHS. Because it's easy for my staff to remember, and you have to push one button that's recording. The first 3 years we tried direct hard drive recording, we had issues all 3 years in a row, and we lost a day's worth of talks or more each of those 3 years. So I said, fuck it, I'm going low-tech because I know it works. It's more effort to convert this stuff to MP3. But I got the tapes out of storage recently. They were here in storage in Atlanta. I'm in Nashville. I've got the tapes. There is a talk there about military satellite systems and the types of protection that they have. So that will be on the Science Track website, hopefully before the end of the year. Merry Christmas.
Okay. I had another question.
I love you, okay. Johnny.
About what if
happy holidays.
What are your suggestions for people who are interested in getting to phone freaking, if that's even a thing anymore?
It's not that easy.
Telco Bob.
He went to pee a little bit.
He disappeared. Okay. It's more of a kind of a curiosity these days, but the historical documents are interesting to read. If you can find copies of TAP and Yipple, the original Esquire article about the little blue box, you can dig up the plans. It's actually kind of fun to build this old equipment and see how it works. The more recent stuff, I think the last phone freaking I really knew that was actively going on was, of course, the infamous 2600 Redbox stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Decade old. I made a lot of money selling those things. Voicemail hacking, I think some of that still people play with that. There was a big voicemail hacking community going on in the late 90s, early 2000s. Someone just mentioned Asterix, and that's actually really fun and useful to play with. Get your PBX in a box, and I love the idea of being able to whitelist, blacklist, graylist incoming phone calls, your own music on hold. I suggest Japanese noise bands for telemarketers. there's still stuff out there. There's still people doing stuff, but the glory days of like the 800 megahertz cellular phones and the Oki 900s and all that stuff, that's kind of passed. People finally caught on and figured,
has the phone company patched a lot of this stuff?
Oh yeah. Okay. I mean, red boxes, blue boxes, all that stuff. None of that works anymore since ESS 5 and the various updates have come through. But again, the history is interesting, and asterisks, and Google Voice is actually kind of neat to play with. People are doing some fun stuff with Google Voice. The funniest thing I read about a while back was someone who did kind of a parody of a shortwave number station on a Google Voice phone number, and people have been doing codes and audio cryptography stuff and puzzles There's still stuff you can do, but the bar is a little bit higher. You have to dig a little bit harder for the information, but that also weeds out the phone freaking version of Script Kiddies to an extent. Yeah. So, check with me after the con. Give me a couple of days to recover. If nothing else, you can email me, science@dragoncon.org, and I can send you a resource list I got. It hasn't been updated in a couple of years, but most of the information is valid.
Are you guys going to be at the
301?
Are you guys going to be at the 301?
Yeah, we're doing a 301 tomorrow at 10 a.m., God help me. And I'm gonna. I'll continue it next door on the science track. Actually, it's the 301 continued at 11:30 a.m.
Okay.
So we'll talk about all sorts of stuff.
And also, the guy you really wanted to speak to about all that sort of thing was Bruce Shiner, and he hasn't got any panels more, but he's yeah.
He does phone freaking?
No, but he's the chief technical security officer for British Telecom. If he knows any, if anybody knows anything about security and telephone systems, it's going to be Bruce.
Books. I didn't know about the British Telecom.
He went to pee a little bit, so give him a little time.
Well, it's just like I was telling him, some of the historical documents are neat to read, and I guess the only modern day equivalent I can think of would be messing around with Asterix and Google Voice.
Yeah, I mean, I've played around with it a lot. It's just like, it's careful if you got a blue box.
No, yeah, well, I do recommend like asterisks
a lot of the,
if you're going to do anything.
The point people were doing this stuff, the reason for doing it no longer really exists. It's kind of like the early hacking scene in the 60s, 70s. We've got access to the internet, and most of us have access to high-speed connections. Yeah, we've got access to the source code. We've got access to cheap, really good hardware. So a lot of the need, a lot of the reason people were hacking into machines previously just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, so it'd be more useful to just park the computer.
No, Randall, he's at his prime right now.
You want to just lie down and take a little nap before Kevin Pizza's getting here? Go ahead, take a nap. We won't let anyone touch you. We've done this before.
Yeah. We'll take care of you.
Just lie down, take a little nap, and wake you up when the pizza gets here.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah. I do have one question. What is that book right there, anyway?
I don't know. It was here from the previous panel, I think. It may have been here all weekend. I don't know.
Let's find out together.
Oh, The Uplift War. Yeah, it's a pretty decent book. I read that when I was a kid.
Can you read a few passages to us?
No.
That would be the...
I saw that earlier in a panel. Yeah. I want to play with it.
Yeah, I guess the book kind of fell apart, and so the little note on it said, a fun puzzle put back together, but how difficult can it be when there's page numbers?
No, this shit.
Yeah, I thought he was referring to this book. I have a replica of the Voynich manuscript here, a 400-year-old unsolved code. Could talk about that one for a while. Okay, next.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, I don't know if this is appropriate. I don't know if this is appropriate for this conversation.
Go for it.
But,
only one way to find out.
Most hated and favorite hacking movies or...
antitrust.
I was at SummerCon 95 when the hack to the Hacker's website was done. Wasn't me, but it happened at SummerCon 95. And I thought it was kind of brilliant that the people who were doing the Hacker's movie said, we'll use this as a marketing tool, the fact that our website has been hacked. So, best hacking movie?
I
like Real
hated.
Genius. I actually like Real
War
Genius.
Games
that's a fun
is
one because a lot of the lore and the stuff going on in the background of Real Genius is actual Caltech inside jokes. So, those are mine. Yes, sir.
You know, Hackers, both pros and cons. You know, some people hate it. I like it. Several parts of. I mean, Angelina Jolie is great, obviously. But also, just I think
it's a
it really
fun
captured
movie
the idea of somebody
the
going into
Hack
the zone and just having all these other kinds of things going on around you, and you're just in the computer. And I always like that.
I think that's probably the only answer you got to get at this point. Thank you. Good question.
Has anyone heard from a guy called Stank Dog lately?
Yeah. No, I haven't recently. Updates. Is he alive? Is he okay? I guess we'll find out in a little bit.
Cool.
I'm wondering the same thing, actually.
Yeah.
Who?
I'm pretty sure he's alive.
I know you were on DDP Bin Rev Radio before, Ilanka. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Thanks, dog.
It's good.
Oh, yeah. He got really tired of some of the comments that were going on in the forums.
Oh.
Yeah, all the haters, and they just eventually just dragged him down, and so he got out of the scene. But I last time I saw him was at DEF CON a few years ago.
Cool.
But I haven't stayed in touch since then.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. Stank dog, right?
Cool.
Yeah.
Next question.
I think he just got out of the podcasting.
Next question, please.
What's up?
Howdy.
Okay, so we're supposed to stump you, is that right?
Sure.
Is there a prize?
Go for it.
Talk to someone in the audience.
No, is there a prize? That's what I'm asking.
Maybe.
You missed the deadline, sir.
Bring it. So,
everything's negotiable.
Right. Most recently, one of the facilities, one of the hospitals that I support, arrested someone for trying to exploit their systems while their mother was staying in the hospital.
Oops.
So my question to you is, if you took it upon yourself to try to, you know, get into a hospital and do whatever you want to do.
It is insanely easy.
Let me finish before you.
Okay,
let me
down. Going,
I'm sorry.
I
love you.
How do you not kill everyone? No, specifically, because here's what I'm getting at. Most monitors and vents are not IP-enabled. They report up to a control system. Those control systems are not usually identifiable. Sure, you can tell that they're vendor, but you have to know what software is installed on it. They're not. They usually run like a typical OS. So, if you were going to...
They run Windows, usually.
Not all of them, but most of them. How would you make sure that you are not actually going to break or cause harm to someone if you were to get in and exploit something?
Well, there's
I never thought that far ahead.
Is what I do.
What?
Nah.
Yeah.
I only pretend to be evil. I have limits, and hospitals are off limits. So
they're not off limits to me.
Yeah.
But I was in one for about
practices,
a month.
Or practices, so just, you know. I'm sorry?
I was in one for about a month, and I played the fuck out of the system. And you can change entire records, strangely enough.
You're still not answering my question.
What was your question?
How would you specifically avoid the systems that keep people alive if you're trying to attack other systems in the hospital?
I didn't do that.
I know
I mean, the systems
you asked to be stumped. I'm asking you a hard question, and you guys don't seem to be able to answer.
No.
Actually,
I told you how to break that system.
Medication are probably going to be on a different system. They're not going to be part of the larger network. I've never been into a hospital room where they would put someone's respiration onto the global hospital network.
The medical bioengineering type equipment. That stuff's not running Windows. You know, a lot of that stuff
is
running
from
proprietary firmware, and a lot of it's not even networked. So,
I mean,
that's my knowledge of these systems. So,
yeah, I mean, personally, if I was bored and I was visiting someone in the hospital, and I have access to their computer systems, and I go in and I'm finding all sorts of insecurities, I'm just going to be screwing around with stuff like, you know, changing a screensaver or putting up a message somewhere. If I saw something that was actually going to affect the health of a patient, I'd be making a beeline to hospital security and saying, hey, guys, you gotta toughen your system here. Because if I can get in, other people can get in. How would I know? Probably because you'd be seeing something that would be different than just kind of the general hospital system, and you'd actually be seeing patient numbers, and you'd be seeing medical records, and you'd be seeing different things. And in that case, I wouldn't be going in and changing things. Generally, when I go in and I look at things, and I'm not actually modifying things.
Okay, in my experience, people are not, the nurses are not entirely concerned with people's confidentiality. So you go in the room, and they have a computer open to the last access record. And you can do anything you want from that page. Like, they're already logged in, everything. You can change their test results, everything. Not that I have.
From practical experience, I'll tell you what you should be more worried about hospital security-wise. You should be worried about the physical security for the various drug cabinets and the places where the medicines are stored. That's where you're going to have... That's where you would have probably most of your trouble in the hospitals, based on my experience. I can't go into details, but anyone remember the simplex locks, the little ones that were the five buttons you push in various orders? And there are very limited number of combinations. And when that article came out in 2600 talking about it, I'll just say I had very close contact with a particular police department in the Nashville area, and I showed them this article, and simply based on the article, they were able to determine that there was a ring of essentially addicted doctors and nurses working out of a particular hospital who were stealing the medications and replacing them with look-alike candies that then went to the patients. And they determined that there were a number of deaths that resulted from the patients getting candy instead of medication, and the doctors and nurses were either using the medicine on themselves because they were addicts, or they were selling it for money to support their habits. A lot of that got brushed under the rug to avoid big lawsuits, but they were able to crack this drug ring. They hadn't been able to figure out previously how people were getting access to these supposedly secure drug cabinets. That's what I would be more worried about from a security level in a hospital than someone messing around with a Windows machine and changing patient records.
And actually, it's generally the opposite. What?
Nashville.
Yeah. I mean, generally, when I'm going in and I'm looking at hospital systems, generally the people who are using the system are so unsophisticated in what they're doing. They're using very poor security. They can usually barely send an email. And if anything, I'm educating them on how to use the computer systems better. And look, you know, here's how to use a Windows menu, because often it's astonishing how little they know about computers. And if you really want to be scary, look at some of the tests, like an MRI. You know, MRIs, people think, oh, it's an MRI, and you can transmit it back and forth. And the MRIs, every single place that an MRI is done, they tend to use a different system. And when you try to talk to doctors and say, oh, you know, measure it on this one and measure on that one, and I've often, you know, I had an MRI, I had a CD, and I put it on my laptop, and I figured out how the software worked, and I was going through and looking at the different skull angles and everything. And I found out very quickly that I knew how to read that MRI better than the doctor did. And then when I went in to the doctor and I was talking about it, my computer was more powerful than his computer. He could barely see the thing. It was really kind of scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Assault. Permission, that's assault.
Mm-hmm. I can't hear you at all, sorry.
Use the mic!
I work in the healthcare IT field, and I don't know what the guy's question was. What's your question, dude?
Yeah, how to prevent, at what point do you, if you're hacking into a system, do you not mess with things that might affect someone's health, I think was the question.
Well, that's a judgment call, but we take protocols, multi-layer protocols, the physical layer, of course, first thing. Mm-hmm. We have a multi-step approach for passwords. My company, we disable passwords 30 days. You got to get new passwords. It has to be at least 9 length characters with different characters in it. And it's disabled no matter who you are, administrator, the CEO, every 30 days, disable the password. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them gripe and groan. And I say, look, you know, we were dealing with HIPAA, with people's health records.
Right.
And if we get hacked, how much is it going to cost our organization? It happened in Virginia recently, where somebody hacked into a database, stole the database, wanted $40 million for ransom, deleted the backup, encrypted the backup, and said, for $40 million, I'll give you the key. And this happens all the time across this country.
Was it an American hacker group, or was it Eastern European, or do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I won't say. But
Chinese, yeah, APT. Right.
And then the Chinese are probably more than the most dirty ones that I've come across, right. And they think they're slick. You see them doing across proxy server all across the world. You know where they're coming from,
mm-hmm.
And they'll target computers that are not up to date.
Right.
And get your service packs in there.
Mm-hmm.
I know they stupid and suck, whatever, but you need your service packs in there. If you don't, trust me, they will come after your ass.
All right. Well, thanks for fighting the good fight on that and keeping it secure.
I applaud you for being on the good side of that, but...
All righty. I was just wondering...
But everyone is not.
Has anyone ever messed around with an AS-400?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
AS400s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, hell, 2600 has got articles on that.
Yeah, they're, hey, if you're interested... If you're interested in AS400s, there's a guy named Dubeev, as in D-A. He runs, you can get a shell on an AS400 from him. I forget what the site is you need to sign up for, it, but he runs a thing called Telefreak. Just look up Telefreak, and you can get a shell on an AS400.
Oh, yeah, Telefreak. They also have VMS.
Yes.
Death Row Cluster. Yeah. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, the Death Row Cluster, exactly.
Yeah.
This is not the first time this has happened, by the way.
Oh. Has anyone ever messed around with Has anyone ever messed around with an AS400?
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to get some more information on it so I could maybe help make it better.
What, making AS400s better?
Yeah.
Go to something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Find a new thing.
Dinosaurs, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what about making a Commodore better? That might be.
That might be fun for the children.
Next question.
Well, apparently it's a little late for that since it's almost time for pizza.
I apologize. The crowd is a lot rowdier without refreshments.
Shut the fuck up! Amen.
Yeah, you'll wake Randall up.
Says, obviously people can't shut their fucking mouths. Can you possibly turn up the sound on the volume on the sound system so we can hear way back there?
Sound guy, can you turn up the volume, please?
If you want feedback, you can.
Well, I'm asking you now.
No, feedback would not be a good thing.
No.
Being able to hear would be good, but not at the sound across the feedback. Sorry.
Wait.
No.
There's too many people to slap around.
Shut up, please.
Okay. Shut the fuck up.
Okay, let me ask your question real quick.
That was my question about the sound, because I can fucking hear the rest of their shit.
Okay, so now that we've turned the sound up so everyone can hear, it's time to break and order pizza.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Go ahead and ask
my question. My question's easy. I just want to take Randall's spot so he can go to bed. That's all. That's it.
Yeah, Randall loves it.
Sure, but we're going to order pizza now.
Does anyone?
Here's how we do the pizza ordering thing. I actually need to go back over to the science track, which I'm supposed to be running. So someone trustworthy who is in charge will take up the donations. We usually order from Papa John's. They kind of expect our calls. Make sure that we've got enough money so we can tip them very, very generously. I suggest writing down the order in advance. And if we order more than 20 or so pizzas, they usually start throwing in a bunch of free stuff. So there you go.
And does anyone have a wheelchair for Randall?
No, not to me. Someone else. Who's going to do the pizza fun? Oh, the Bud Light box going around there. The Bud Light box, which has never had beer in it, which is going around there. That's what they're going to use. Donate the pizzas. Tell this gentleman what your request is. In fact, you probably want to write it down.
No, that guy, yeah, he
was legit. Okay. So thank you for attending this very chaotic version of Hacking 201. Now I know what you people are like. When you're not inebriated, you're kind of scary. So.
Oh my God, he almost punched Johnny in the face.
So we're gonna have to work on this in future years.